This is the letter answering department survey of letters. The subject before us is abortion, the logical view based on your knowledge of God. We have many letters, we have a number of letters on the subject of abortion, a highly controversial subject in the world, shouldn't be in the church. However, you will get arguments probably from people in and around the church. And the reason for that is our diagram number 10 on how churches work. Not everybody in and around the Church of God is converted. Some are crept in unawares. People like to cause arguments, and abortion is a wonderful thing for them to argue. And you'll see churches in the world, so-called churches in the world, arguing this point. What is your logical view of abortion based on the knowledge of God? This is going to be not only a good answer to that question, but it is going to be a training ground for you to invoke spiritual logic. Because there is not a thus saith the Lord on every little subject under the sun in the Bible, but there is principle involved. And so God has given us the Holy Spirit, and a lot of the answers to our questions comes primarily from unction of the Holy Spirit, but unction of the Holy Spirit based on the Word of God. So if we talk a lot about applying or invoking spiritual logic, not logic of man's mind or your mind, but the logic based on the Bible. So before we submit to you an extensive text on the biblical view of abortion, we wanted to offer a logical view of abortion based on the knowledge of God. The subject of abortion is probably the most volatile subject on the planet because it involves the most essential elements of both human nature and godly nature. We have heard the endless arguments of man that resolve nothing but causing anger, hate, and violence. Our mission in presenting any of our views is not to convince you of anything, nor to compel you to avoid having an abortion performed. As you can see, this is a letter to people that contact us on the situation. Our mission here is to simply tell you what we believe. That's true of all our letters to the public, by the way. Maybe it will give you a perspective or something to think and meditate about. Your final decision is between you and your conscience and God. That is also true of every sermon, every Bible study, and every spiritual conversation you might have in the church. The minister preaches. He's a true minister. He's preaching from the Word of God. But you are not to believe anything or form beliefs solely on a Bible study or a sermon that you hear. You are to prove everything from the Word of God and the use of that Holy Spirit that is in you. So that's why we say that our mission is for the world is to show you what we believe. That's all we can do for the world is show them what we believe. All we can do for First Fruits, the congregation, is preach the Word of God. Speaking for the ministry. What we know and believe. So I have headings in this letter. It's very simple and succinct. So here's a list of things that we know and believe. So this is where our spiritual logic, we're going to come to a conclusion. This letter is about taking what we know and believe and what we conclude from that. So first, what we know and believe. God is the creator of all things, including the human body and the sex organs. Two, God designed the sex organs to produce offspring. Three, God designed the sex act as a means of expressing love one for another, husband for wife, and wife for husband. Four, God made man in his image. Five, offspring, infants, are born in the image of God. Six, mankind is responsible for all parts of his or her bodies, including the sex organs. 7. An egg cannot be fertilized unless a man and woman engage in sexual intercourse, which shall be defined as male sperm being introduced to a female egg by any means, manual or artificial. We will discuss rape later. 8. If a fertilized egg is left alone and all things proceed as designed by God, this fertilized egg will result in a live birth. These are things that we know. Very simple, logical stuff here. Number 9. If there is no fertilized egg existing in a particular woman, there is no need to discuss abortion. Isn't that interesting? The whole subject of abortion only makes sense if there's somebody pregnant in the room. If nobody's pregnant, nobody's going to discuss abortion. 10. Abortion has only one mission in its design: to remove and or to destroy a fertilized egg, or otherwise prevent it from maturing to a live birth. 11. Sin entered the world by man. Romans 5:21. 12. Man sins, and each individual man and woman is responsible for their individual sins. 13. Man collectively is responsible for all sins. Think about that one for a minute. Man collectively is responsible for all sins. When I was first counseled for baptism, the minister looked at me, and Lee probably remembers this. He was baptized about the same time, probably was counseled by the same individual I'm thinking of. And he looked at me and said, "Are you guilty of murder by any chance?" And I said, "Well, no, I've never murdered anybody." He said, "I didn't ask if you murdered anybody. I said, are you guilty of murder?" And I finally got the point after he explained it to me, but I am responsible for the death of Christ. Because I am part of man, and man collectively sins, Christ had to die for my sins. And this is a hard part of this concept, but all of the sins in the world are on our heads. If you're a human on this planet and you only sin a few sins in your entire lifetime, you're guilty of all sins that have been collectively sinned by mankind, because you're part of mankind. Mankind is collectively responsible. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that so that man collectively, as a group of individuals, could be saved. So all individuals are guilty of murder. And if you think back to how things work on this planet, how things work in the world, we are collectively guilty of all the sins that take place on the planet. You know, there's even a song out there, "Let There Be Peace and Let It Begin With Me," which is to say that there can't be peace in the world if I'm not contributing to it. Man is collectively a mess, such that God says that if he didn't step in and intercede, that all flesh would be destroyed. That's part of this collective responsibility. Who, if God allowed that to happen, that all flesh would be destroyed, who would be responsible for that? The guy that started the war, the guy that started Armageddon, the beast power, United Europe, who's going to be responsible for this? Every human walking the planet. 14. Many sins involve man sinning against man. In a sin, this is 15. Listen very carefully. In a sin where a person sins against another person, both are responsible. Perpetrator and victim. I know this sounds harsh, but all of mankind is responsible for sin. And all of mankind is responsible for the sins they do to each other. We all stand guilty for the sins in the world. God punishes whole groups and whole nations for their collective sins. How many times have you seen that in the Bible? When we see the sin of Korah, who died? Korah rebelled, but who died? When David sinned, he gave him a choice. I can do this, this, or the other thing. What should I do? A whole bunch of people died. What we can conclude and believe from the things that we know. Number one, regardless of the means, mankind is responsible for every egg that is fertilized. Not the man and the woman only, but mankind is responsible for every egg that is fertilized. That includes rape. There's a soundbite. You can go over to the EA site, go to soundbites and see what Garner Ted Armstrong has to say about rape and abortion. Crime is national and world sin. Crime is national and world sin more than individual sin. Sin itself is national and a world responsibility. We cannot terminate a birth of a human being because of our collective sins. Two, because of the design of reproduction and the fact that a fertilized egg left alone results in a live birth, life begins at the moment of conception. 1 second short of conception and there is no fertilized egg and therefore no need of abortion, even the need to discuss it. 1 second after conception and you have a live birth process beginning. Everything about God is process. You can't interfere with the process. And no baby has ever been born, but there started a process called a fertilized egg, that moment, that nanosecond of fertilization. Three, mankind has no justification before God to state that a fertilized egg is something less than a human. A fertilized human egg has only one purpose of design. That design is God's. So forget about whether it's a baby or not. You're fooling around with something that belongs to God. It's a design of God's. Four, therefore, mankind has no justification to abort a fertilized egg at any time. Five, abortion is an invention of man and not God. Mankind uses it for selfish purposes. Six, God comes before any so-called rights of individuals. 7. To destroy a human being from conception to adult is to destroy something in the image of God, a creation of God. Therefore, to destroy a human is a direct attack on God. That's why it's wrong to attack other people. It's wrong to hit other people. When you hit another human being, you're hitting the image of God. You're attacking God. You're attacking something that he put on the planet. You're hitting something, somebody, who God allowed to be born and is walking around. And we're talking about murder, not killing. We're talking about murder. Or allowing our anger to result in us beating on somebody. Eight, no individual, no government, no nation, and no collection of nations or men or women have the right to abort something that belongs to and was designed by God. Having stated all this, by way of introduction, we will proceed to the biblical articles against abortion. So when we are asked about abortion, we send out this letter first, and then we contact them next with other letters on the subject. But this is where we begin. It's a hard subject. Blood boils when you bring up abortion, even for people in the church, even for people sitting in this room. The blood boils in me just because it's a controversial subject, not necessarily because of the subject matter, because I'm resting assured and following God's principles on this, but just reading this letter boils my blood. Because it is such a controversial subject, and I even take the risk of making somebody upset by reading it. But it is something that the church has to deal with when it is dealing with the world. The world comes beating a path to our door and wanting to know what we feel about abortion. This is the first volley we send their way on the logical view of abortion based on our knowledge in God. And so that is the first thing that we give them. This is our beliefs and our knowledge about the subject of abortion.